Shepherd's video there, Johnny. You see it?
Wait. Someone has to watch the sheep.
What are you talking about?
Someone has to watch the sheep. They're sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine, let's go.
That is the same thing that you said when you wanted to go see the Mutton and Sons concert, and we saw it, and we lost half our flock. We lost
half Sam! Angels, they just popped out of the sky, and instead of sprinting to Bethlehem, you're all like, no, we gotta take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?
Hey guys, I'm gonna race you, okay? Last one there is the stinky loincloth. Let's go!
Look, okay? The angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guarding angels.
No, it's guardian angels. Guardian.
Tomato! Who cares? Why are we still standing here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't feel.
You can't prove that. Fine. There's only one way to solve this. Rock, parchment, shears. Loser stays with the sheep.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Ah!
Today, in the town of David, a savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of the Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us, but they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us. Which is all the more reason why we need to go.
I know. And I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Hey, did you see how fast I was running? Over there, I was like a lightning bolt. But no, you guys are never gonna believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak? That would be ridiculous. I can't even. I'll see you.
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah, okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's gonna change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me.
You're right. But before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. It is. Promise me when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah. Promise me. Promise me.
He's a baby. He's in swaddling clothes. I don't think he's gonna care how we
Okay, fine. Me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings, okay? So less standy, more runny.
Frank, take a knee.
Okay.
We were playing rock, parchment, shears.
Oh, yeah?
You lost.
Oh.
Done for the day probably, but then you wouldn't get what you paid for this morning. So it's Luke, as Bill read for us as well earlier, that highlights this for us. And in Luke chapter 2 verse 8, we read this: in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Right, these men, they were just doing their job, right? Same thing they did the day before and the day before that, and just going about their business. And We know, as we read the children's story, this in the video made very clear, these were not the high, you know, well-respected, top echelon people in the Jewish society, right? These were on the bottom rung of society's ladder in that day. In fact, they may have been, you know, they worked hard, it was steady work and those kind of things, but they were not highly respected. They were social outcasts probably and not looked upon very well. And it's amazing that the angels show up to them, right? And they show up and you can get kind of a sense of what they're feeling, right, initially. And I appreciate these videos because they give us a little bit more. That didn't actually happen. No one played rock, parchment, shears back in first century Judaism. But I appreciate that it gives us an image of what possibly those nights or this night would have been like. But we see again in verse 9 that an angel appeared to them, the glory of the Lord, and that bright light, right? Glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. But the angel said to them, "Fear not," right? And we hear that before. We've heard that a couple different times just the last few weeks in these stories, that fear not. In fact, that's the most often quoted or most often used command throughout the Bible. Fear not. Because that's a natural reaction, right? All of us, as Bill said, you know, if an angel popped up before you, you would all be afraid, right? Bill confessed that to us, but all of us would be frightened at an angel appearing before us, especially with some of the images that we have of angels in our Bible. But the command to fear not, again, is given over and over again, and it's given to Zechariah and to Mary earlier in this story, but again, throughout the Old Testament as well. When God showed up, when God's presence and the angel showed up, there was that natural fear. But there wasn't God wasn't angry, the angels weren't angry that was the response. It was actually kind of expected. The difference, again, looking at Zechariah and Mary's story, is that they were told they were having children coming, right? They had their firstborn sons were going to be coming on the way. The angels didn't quite get the same message. They were being told that one of these births had happened, that Jesus had been born to Mary. And that it wasn't just news, right? It wasn't just this is something worth noting. This is good news. In fact, we could probably say, you know, use other descriptions as great or the best or whatever, but it's good news. And this emotion of fear, they say, do not fear, but be filled with great joy, right? In fact, they go on in verse 10, said, "Fear not, for behold, I am bringing you good news." And this isn't part of my notes, and so I'm going to go off on this just a second because it stuck out to me in the video. That word "you," and I think, again, Bill mentioned this as well, that word "you," I looked this up, and it says it's not the plural "y'all," right? We kind of expect it to be "y'all," all you shepherds, all you people, "y'all," "you." No, that is the word "you," "you," one singular "you." And I think that's so important for us to remember, especially in light of the shepherd story and where we're at sometimes in our culture, is we're unique and individual and special when God looks at us. He's not just looking at the world and saying, "Y'all," or, you know, "I love y'all." It's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, whatever. No, "I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you." And so this news is for all y'all, but it's also for each of you. I'm going to move on from that. But I just think that's such an important aspect of this. So it says, good news of great joy. I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And that stuck out to me too. And just, you know, that word "sign," you know, you expect something unique and different. A baby being wrapped in swaddling clothes or cloths, not that unique, right? Most babies are wrapped pretty well and swaddled up and that kind of stuff. The lying in a manger, a little more unique. So that's kind of what they're looking for. But it's amazing, and we said this over and over this morning already, is that God decided to make a statement about who would receive that good news first. Right? The angel of the Lord came to the shepherds. The good news went out to those that are outside of society, or the outcasts of society, the fringe of society, that lowest rung. That is where God sends this angel to bring the good news to first. It wasn't the palaces and the privileged and the people with authority and power, the people that we kind of expect for the news to trickle down from, right? No, this is the news is going down to those that are on the bottom rung so that they could be the first to share and experience this good news and then be the ones that pass it along as well. And again, this good news goes to those that are socially depressed, economically deprived, and religiously shunned in that world, which I think is such an important aspect to this too, is we know the shepherds were taking care of sheep and probably other animals as well, but these sheep were special sheep, sheep that were unique and set aside for things to be used in the temple and the religious sacrifices of that day. But it's ironic because the very people that were taking care of these animals that were so important to this religious system and the sacrifices and the things they were doing in the temple would not have even been allowed to go into the temple themselves because of their occupation, because of the things that they were around and the things they touched and saw probably too, but the things that they were around all the time, they weren't able to go and worship at the temple, but they were providing the source and opportunity for others to do that well. And so this angel shows up, makes this announcement, and says, to you, the Savior has been born. And so what happens next, again, I wish we could see this image, or I wish I could have been there with the shepherds to see and experience this, because I find there should be an awe in this. It says, suddenly there was an angel, or there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And in my mind, what I'm picturing, you know, the angel's there and kind of, you know, this bright light glowing and he's hanging out and that kind of stuff, talking to him. And when I was growing up, I thought of like this choir of angels, because that's kind of what you think of. You know, it sounds like a choir of angels, so it's like a group of them behind that angel singing and praising and those kind of things, which would be cool. But the more and more I thought about this, you know, I don't think it's just there and in front of them. I think there's a multitude of angels that if they turned, and this is what happened, because this is my truth. And so what they're looking and they're watching this angel, and then the shepherds slowly turn around, and all around them, filling the entire night sky, is this angelic choir saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And just the awe I think they would have experienced and the power of this beautiful choir of angels singing and all around them, just to me is, I get goosebumps just thinking about it, I guess, but it's just this power and this authority of what God is proclaiming to them at this time. And so this emotion-filled announcement, mesmerizing and emotionally-filled announcement comes from God via the angel to these shepherds. And within that praise, there's about, you know, 20 words or whatever within this, what the angels tell them, or this choir tells them. There's 8 words that really are highlighted throughout the rest of Luke's Bible. In fact, if you have a chance this week, actually I shouldn't say that, you won't have a chance, you're going to have to make an opportunity for yourself to do this, because that's just how we are. There are 8 words from those that line that Luke highlights through the rest of his Bible, through the rest of his book. And so if you've got time in Luke, go and highlight these words as Luke uses them, because they're important for his message and what he brings. And the first one is that word good news, evangelizomai. And again, good news is more than just simple or ordinary or regular news. This is exciting good news. And I don't know if you've ever gotten a package in the mail and you look at it and you're like, what did I order? I'm sure I ordered something. I don't know what it is. Those are my favorite prizes. In fact, we got a and maybe it was one of you guys. Somebody sent us a giant seal. It was a stuffed seal. I don't know who sent it, where it had Shana's name, our address on it, and it's this plush foam seal. And it's neat and stuff. My kids fight over it, so it must be really cool. But it's fun to get things like that in the mail, right? That's almost like good news showing up on your doorstep. There's a movie that stars Christian Slater in 1996, from 1996, called Bed of Roses. And what he does in that movie is he has this floral shop, but he himself is the one that goes and continues to make delivery, even though he's the owner and manager of this shop. He hires someone else to run it so that he can be the one that delivers these flowers to people, right? And that's really the idea, is that he's the one that wants to see people's faces when he hands them the flower, when he brings them this card or whatever, that, you know, balloons and whatever else. He wants to be the one that experiences that. And that's really this idea of this bringing this good news of evangelizomai. The second word is hara, is joy. And Luke, again, uses this more than almost anyone else in the Bible. And it's just that joy and that excitement, that energy that comes with something. You know, you think about a kid at Christmas. You think about, you know, toddlers who when they jump off the couch onto a pile of pillows and blankets, and they scream, "That was epic!" Right? Just so excited that they can jump and they're safe, and it's just that joy and that energy is this idea of what Luke uses this word for. And we don't have to tell kids to be joyful a lot of times, right? No one's told them that life is hard and then you die, right? They're just living life as they go, and they're excited, and there's that energy and that, again, that joy that comes with it. And so really that's the idea of this. And joy is more than just happiness and excitement, obviously, too. But with this story and this energy and the way that Luke uses it, it's that excitement. It's that anticipation of something coming and happening. Then we have the word laos, which is people. And again, this idea of people, of all, not just the Jewish people, not just the descendants of Abraham, not just, few people here and there, not just the authorities and the powerful and the sophisticated, but for all people, right? Every single person, every single mindset and attitude and worldview, even that person that is just incredibly crazy and you don't understand what they're saying, and, God loves them and he or she is part of all people, right? And so Luke uses that word to make sure we understand in the story of the shepherds, the story we looked at last week of the wise men, these magi coming, of people, right? All people. And if there's that one person that we're thinking of, like, maybe not him or her, right? You don't know him or her, but no, him or her, him and her too. All people involved in this. And then he uses the word Sarmon. And when I read Sarmon, I heard Saruman, and Saruman's a bad guy from The Lord of the Rings, so that's a completely different thing. But this is the word Sarmon, and that's today. I do quite a few funerals, and oftentimes people I don't know at all, and I don't know the family a whole lot either, really, a lot of times. What I try to remind them, I try to remind them of several things, but one thing I try to remind us when we're faced with death, when we're dealing with a loss, is that we only have today. Right, we only have the moments we have right now. We don't know what's going to happen as we, leave the church here this morning. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if it's going to happen later this week. We only know we have right now and we have today. And really, that's Luke's message for us as well, is that now is the time. Today is the day. The video did a great job of that, of just telling us, let's go. Why are we standing here? Let's move. Let's get going. This is exciting. This is good news. We want to get and see this and experience this. And Jesus would have been there the next day, right? Jesus would have been there later that week. We know from the Magi story that, Jesus was probably there for a couple years even. No, today is the day we have to do this, right? And all of us know that there are priorities that we have to, have. And, a lot of times we'll push things off. Oh, well, I'll pay that bill tomorrow, or I'll take care of that chore later, or I'll push later tomorrow, whatever. There are some things that need to be taken care of now. There are some things that need to be taken care of today. And then the next word we see him use is soter, is Savior. And I'm going to have you do something goofy. I was going to have you do something goofy earlier, but I skipped that for your sake because I know you guys aren't goofy people. We're going to do something a little goofy. So whatever shirt you're wearing on top, I want you to imagine you've got a shirt underneath or a suit underneath with a big red S on it, right? Everybody's imagining you got your big red S on your chest, right? So what we're going to do when I say the words help or help me, I'm going to say help me. We're going to pretend to open up our cape or reveal our super suit underneath our shirt, right? You guys are going to do this with me, right? You're going to leave me hanging, I know. All right. Ready? So help me, help me. There you go. Thank you for participating. That's this idea of Savior, right? This idea of when you watch superhero movies, when you watch, Superman or Batman or Spider-Man, or whichever man you like to follow and enjoy. This is the idea of Savior, of rescuing, of taking care of providing. There was a time several years ago when I was doing youth ministry in back home where I would actually purposely wear red and blue because I don't know if I needed the extra confidence or I just wanted to feel a little bit extra like I was maybe kind of Superman or what it was, but I wore it purposely thinking in the back of my mind, what can I do to take care of people today, right? What can I do to help and provide for someone? I wasn't saving anyone by any means, but this idea of rescuing, of stepping into the world and stepping into other people's worlds and just providing them that superhero mentality and aspect. And that's really the idea that Luke uses Savior here for as well. But there's also another key aspect to this idea of savior is Jesus wasn't the only one considered a savior in that world at that time. In fact, when the way Luke writes this, he's going to come in direct conflict with the rulers and the gods of the people of that day, right? And so this gentleman named Brodmann writes this. He says, to proclaim Jesus as savior in the Hellenistic environment, which is that Jewish, the Roman environment at that time, of the Gentile mission was to affirm that he was the universal deliverer for whom people longed, who could do for them what neither the rulers nor their gods could accomplish. Only Jesus truly releases people from the bondage of evil, hate, death, and corruption. The next word is the word Kyrios, and that's the word for Lord. Not only is Jesus the one who rescues us and rips off that, you know, reveals us that cape to come down and save his people from death and corruption, but he's the one that can lead and guide and direct us as well. And then we have the words doxa and doxazo, and glory and glorify. It's interesting how when the way they phrase this is that, you know, they talk about glory to God in the highest, and then they mention peace on earth or peace to men on whom his favor rests. That's the order that they really have to come in this world, right? We look at our world around us and peace is just elusive, right? We look at our own hearts and minds and peace is super elusive as well. That's because so often we miss this order. We miss the order that we need to honor, glorify, praise, and worship our God, the creator of this universe. And then after that, then we can find more and more peace, right? And that's not going to be outward. That's not going to be external. It's not going to be the things that we see in our world around us, our jobs or our occupations or the, you know, relationships maybe outside of us. But inside of us, the more and more we honor and praise and glorify our God, the more and more that we can find peace within us. And so again, I encourage you to take those words maybe this week, look through Luke and just see how he uses them, and find that, again, that continuity that he brings for us as well. But N.T. Wright writes to us about this good news, and N.T. Wright's, again, a rather prominent author and speaker. He says, what good news regularly does, then, is to put a new event into an old story, point to a wonderful future hitherto out of reach, and so introduce a new period in which instead of a hopeless life, people are now waiting with excitement for what they know is on the way. And the Christian good news is supposed to be this kind of thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes as news within a larger story, but it points to a wonderful new future, and it introduces a new period of waiting that changes our expectations. So what do the shepherds do with this good news? When the angels went away, verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. Again, we like to wait. We like to say, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. It'll be there, you know, when I get there tomorrow or the next day or next week or next year, right? So often we will hold in emotions until we can't hold in it anymore. I've oftentimes, and you know, maybe some of us have done this as well, is we wait until the power shut off or the water shut off before we start looking for someone to provide us maybe some help or assistance. We wait and we wait and we wait, when again, some things just need to be taken care of today. With haste, right away, now, we need to do this and go take care of this. And so that's what the shepherds did. With haste, they went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Again, shepherds aren't the most respected people in the culture, in that society. So I can just imagine, right, them running around, I imagine them going from, you know, almost house to house, or running around through the streets of Bethlehem and just shouting at the top of their voice, we saw him, we met him, woo, you know, and excited and all these things. They probably wooed, I'm sure they wooed. And how the people are responding to that, right? They're probably responding like we would to someone that would do that in our culture today. Someone's running down the street hooting and hollering. Your first mindset isn't like, well, they just met Jesus. You know, your first mindset is, what are they? Never mind, we won't go there. But that's probably what people were thinking. What are they doing? Why are they doing this? You know, and just, you know, discounting what they were saying, didn't have any, you know, understanding of, you know, what was going on maybe, but definitely not maybe believing, you know, for sure, probably not believing them and what they were saying. And so they had the response, you know, but they still went out and they still shared and they still talked about it. But again, I love Mary's response as she treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And I've just been thinking again this season, and again, we have this opportunity every year. We have this opportunity probably really every day and maybe even moment by moment is how are we going to respond to the things that are happening around us? How are we going to respond to this story of this crazy story of this baby coming that's God himself coming into this world and these angels showing up and these shepherds running around and these, you know, all, you know, people being mute because they're not believing and all these different kinds of crazy things happening. We have to respond this year. We have to respond today. We have to respond to what is, you know, what is going on and what we're experiencing and seeing as well. And so we can be a lot like various people in this story, right? We can be like Zechariah and not believe what's going on and not believe that God is going to use him and provide for him. And then he was, you know, given a vow of silence, basically, right? And so he can't talk and can't speak for the length of the pregnancy. And my hope is, and in fact, you know, it comes to fruition at the end that Zechariah must have taken that time where he can't speak and can't communicate to ponder and to consider and to think about where he's at. We can be like the Magi who we talked about last week, these wise men who didn't maybe know a lot about what was going on, didn't completely maybe understand the ramifications or what they were doing, I don't think entirely, but they came and they worshiped and they praised. And we can also be like the shepherds, right, who are excited, right, and said, we're going to go. I don't care about, we're going to leave the sheep behind. We're going to leave whatever behind. I've got laundry to fold. I've got these dishes to do. I've got this relationship to take care of. I've got all these kinds of things going on in my life. Doesn't matter. There's a Jesus. There's a child. There's a Jesus. This Messiah. He's born. We got to go check that out. So we can be like all different kinds of people. We can be like Herod we talked about last week, and angry and frustrated and upset and maybe even a little murderous. Hopefully we're not murderous this morning, but and we can get pushed back and push away from God because of our past, because of what we've seen or heard in our world or whatever. But my hope and my prayer for us, for me, for all of us, is that we find a way, even if we're a little frustrated, even if we're upset, even if we, you know, can't figure this all out, is that we're more like Mary and we're pondering or we're considering, or we're more like the Magi who, we don't understand this, but we're going to go ahead and worship this child because of what we understand and what we know. Or we can be like the shepherds who, even if we're... We don't think a whole lot of ourselves, or maybe other people don't think a whole lot of us, maybe we're going to go and we're going to tell other people about this. We've seen, we've experienced, we understand that this is wonderful, not just wonderful, this is good, great, perfect news to share with our world. So this Christmas, the next day or two, maybe this week, or maybe even the next 6 months or year, or 2 years or 5 years, whatever it is, find out how can we get from wherever we're at, whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're dealing with, to those curious, wondering, haste-filled people who want to know and love this baby. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this season. We thank you for the celebration that it is. We thank you for the family and the friends, and I thank you for the presents. But we also want to thank you so much for what it means for our lives, that we can find peace through worshiping you, that we can find a hope and anticipation of knowing that you are coming again, that we have a future in you. And that we can find that love that you want to shower onto us, not just for certain people or for some people or for the certain, you know, certain group of individuals, but for all people. And then I pray that we go into this world with that good news as well. I pray this in Jesus' name.